Today is the 25th day of June. Welcome. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. Welcome back around the global campfire. I am Brian, and I am grateful to be here, to have a place here around the fire as we gather in together. Grateful to be with you today. I'm grateful that we have all come here for the same purpose. We are all on the exact same page as we take this journey that makes such a difference in the way that we are all facing and oriented in our lives. I love this community. Wow, probably beyond words. And grateful to be a part. Grateful to be here today to take the next step forward. That's why we show up every day. We're working our way through a year of life together, all of the ups and downs and twists and turns. And we're working our way through the entire Bible, all the ups and downs and twists and turns. And we have wound our way in the Old Testament from Genesis to where we are now in 2 Kings. Today, chapter 8, verse 1. Through 9, verse 13. Elisha said to the woman whose son he had restored to life, "Get ready, you and your household, and go live as a resident alien wherever you can, for the Lord has announced a 7-year famine. And it has already come to the land." So the woman got ready and did what the man of God said. She and her household lived as resident aliens in the land of the Philistines for 7 years. When the woman returned from the land of the Philistines at the end of 7 years, she went to appeal to the king for her house and field. The king had been speaking to Gehazi, the attendant of the man of God, saying, "Tell me all the great things Elisha has done." While he was telling the king how Elisha restored the dead son to life, the woman whose son he had restored to life came to appeal to the king for her house and field. So Gehazi said, "My lord the king, this is the woman, and this is the son Elisha restored to life." When the king asked the woman, she told him the story. So the king appointed a court official for her, saying, "Restore all that was hers, along with all the income from the field, from the day she left the country until now." Elisha came to Damascus while King Ben-Hadad of Aram was sick, and the king was told, "The man of God has come here." So the king said to Hazael, "Take a gift with you and go meet the man of God. Inquire of the Lord through him, will I recover from this sickness?" Hazael went to meet Elisha, taking with him a gift, 40 camel loads of all the finest products of Damascus. When he came and stood before him, he said, "Your son, King Ben-Hadad of Aram, has sent me to ask you, will I recover from this sickness?" Elisha told him, "Go say to him, you are sure to recover. But the Lord has shown me that he is sure to die." Then he stared steadily at him until he was ashamed. The man of God wept, and Hazael asked, "Why is my Lord weeping?" He replied, "Because I know the evil you will do to the people of Israel. You will set their fortresses on fire. You will kill their young men with the sword. You will dash their children to pieces. You will rip open their pregnant women." Hazael said, "How could your servant, a mere dog, do such a mighty deed?" Elisha answered, "The Lord has shown me that you will be king over Aram. Hazael left Elisha and went to his master, who asked him, "What did Elisha say to you?" He responded, "He told me you are sure to recover." The next day, Hazael took a heavy cloth, dipped it in water, and spread it over the king's face. Ben-Hadad died, and Hazael reigned in his place. In the fifth year of Israel's king Joram, son of Ahab, Jehoram, son of Jehoshaphat, became king of Judah, replacing his father. He was 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. He walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, as the house of Ahab had done, for Ahab's daughter was his wife. He did what was evil in the Lord's sight. For the sake of his servant David, the Lord was unwilling to destroy Judah, since he had promised to give a lamp to David and his sons forever. During Jehoram's reign, Edom rebelled against Judah's control and appointed their own king. So Jehoram crossed over to Zaire with all his chariots. Then at night he set out to attack the Edomites who had surrounded him and the chariot commanders, but his troops fled to their tents. So Edom is still in rebellion against Judah's control today. Libnah also rebelled at that time. The rest of the events of Jehoram's reign, along with all his accomplishments, are written in the historical record of Judah's kings. Jehoram rested with his ancestors and was buried with his ancestors in the city of David, and his son Ahaziah became king in his place. In the 12th year of Israel's king Joram, son of Ahab, Ahaziah, son of Jehoram, became king of Judah. Ahaziah was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Athaliah, granddaughter of Israel's king Omri. He walked in the ways of the house of Ahab and did what was evil in the Lord's sight, like the house of Ahab. For his father had married into the house of Ahab. Ahaziah went with Joram, son of Ahab, to fight against King Hazael of Aram in Ramoth-Gilead, and the Arameans wounded Joram. So King Joram returned to Jezreel to recover from the wounds that the Arameans had inflicted on him in Ramoth-Gilead when he fought against Aram's King Hazael. Then Judah's king Ahaziah, son of Jehoram, went down to Jezreel to visit Joram, son of Ahab, since Joram was ill. The prophet Elisha called one of the sons of the prophets and said, "Tuck your mantle under your belt, take this flask of oil with you, and go to Ramoth-Gilead. When you get there, look for Jehu, son of Jehoshaphat, son of Nimshi. Go in, get him away from his colleagues, and take him to an inner room. Then take the flask of oil, pour it on his head, and say, 'This is what the Lord says. I anoint you king over Israel.' Open the door and escape. Don't wait." So the young prophet went to Ramoth-Gilead. When he arrived, the army commanders were sitting there, so he said, "I have a message for you, commander." Jehu asked, "For which one of us?" He answered, "For you, commander." So Jehu got up and went into the house. The young prophet poured the oil on his head and said, "This is what the Lord God of Israel says. I anoint you king over the Lord's people, Israel. You are to strike down the house of your master Ahab, so that I may avenge the blood shed by the hand of Jezebel, the blood of my servants, the prophets, and of all the servants of the Lord. The whole house of Ahab will perish, and I will wipe out all of Ahab's males, both slave and free, in Israel. I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha son of Ahijah. The dogs will eat Jezebel, in the plot of land at Jezreel. No one will bury her. Then the young prophet opened the door and escaped. When Jehu came out to his master's servants, they asked, "Is everything all right? Why did this crazy person come to you?" Then he said to them, "You know the sword and their ranting." But they replied, "That's a lie. Tell us." So Jehu said, he talked to me about this and that and said, "This is what the Lord says. I anoint you king over Israel." Each man quickly took his garment and put it under Jehu on the bare steps. They blew the ram's horn and proclaimed, "Jehu is king." Acts 16, 16 through 40. Once, as we were on our way to prayer, a slave girl met us who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She made a large profit for her owners by fortune-telling. As she followed Paul and us, she cried out, "These men who are proclaiming to you a way of salvation are the servants of the Most High God." She did this for many days. Paul was greatly annoyed. Turning to the spirit, he said, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out right away. When her owners realized that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. Bringing them before the chief magistrates, they said, "These men are seriously disturbing our city. They are Jews and are promoting customs that are not legal for us as Romans to adopt or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against them, and the chief magistrates stripped off their clothes and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had severely flogged them, they threw them in jail, ordering the jailer to guard them carefully. Receiving such an order, he put them into the inner prison and secured their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the jail were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains came loose. When the jailer woke up and saw the doors of the prison standing open, he drew his sword and was going to kill himself, since he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul called out in a loud voice, "Don't harm yourself, because we're all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. He escorted them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the words of the Lord to him along with everyone in his house. He took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds. Right away, he and all his family were baptized. He brought them into his house, set a meal before them, and rejoiced because he had come to believe in God with his entire household. When daylight came, the chief magistrates sent the police to say, "Release those men." The jailer reported these words to Paul, "The magistrates have sent orders for you to be released, so come out now and go in peace." But Paul said to them, "They beat us in public without a trial, although we are Roman citizens, and threw us in jail. And now are they going to send us away secretly? Certainly not. On the contrary, let them come themselves and escort us out." The police reported these words to the magistrates. They were afraid when they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens. So they came to appease them, and escorting them from prison, they urged them to leave town. After leaving the jail, they came to Lydia's house, where they saw and encouraged the brothers and sisters, and departed. Psalm 143. A cry for help. A Psalm of David. Lord, hear my prayer. In your faithfulness, listen to my plea, and in your righteousness, answer me. Do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one alive is righteous in your sight. For the enemy has pursued me, crushing me to the ground, making me live in darkness like those long dead. My spirit is weak within me. My heart is overcome with dismay. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all you have done. I reflect on the work of your hands. I spread out my hands to you. I am like parched land before you. Selah. Answer me quickly, Lord. My spirit fails. Don't hide your face from me, or I will be like those going down to the pit. Let me experience your faithful love in the morning, for I trust in you. Reveal to me the way I should go, because I appeal to you. Rescue me from my enemies, Lord. I come to you for protection. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your gracious spirit lead me on level ground. For your name's sake, Lord, let me live. In your righteousness, deliver me from trouble. And in your faithful love, destroy my enemies. Wipe out all those who attack me, for I am your servant. Proverbs 17:26. It is certainly not good to fine an innocent person or to beat a noble for his honesty. Okay, so in the book of Acts, we have joined Paul on his second missionary journey. And as with the first, this is the tip of the spear. This is light and darkness colliding, which leaves Paul in the middle of it all, everywhere he goes. And despite the struggle, there's such fascinating opportunities that emerge around Paul. It's as if he took every encounter as an opportunity to try to be light in the midst of darkness. So in today's reading, Paul and Silas, they're in the city of Philippi. Again, like, that will be in the app. And I'm visualizing it in my mind. Every day they spent time at a common place of prayer near the water that is visible and visitable till this day. And so they're sharing the good news. Each day they would encounter a slave girl who would predict a future through, through demonic influence. These men are the servants of the Most High God, and they've come to tell you how to be saved, she would say. And Paul's just exasperated and commands the demon to be cast away from her in the name of Jesus, and it leaves. So the girl's owners are outraged. Paul had destroyed their income. So the owners incited a mob against Paul and Silas that resulted in a pretty severe public beating and humiliation and imprisonment. Around midnight, these bruised Paul and Silas are in chains in the prison in Philippi. That prison exists. And I remember standing there just, you know, less than a year ago, standing there going, wow, this all went down right here. They're singing and worshiping God. Everybody's listening to them. And then an earthquake shakes the jail to its foundations. All of the doors fly open. The dungeon master, or the jail keeper, whatever his title might be, his life is on the line here. He's going to kill himself because the prisoners have escaped. Paul saves his life. Don't kill yourself. We're all here. And when that proved to be true, the jailer falls down before Paul and Silas, asking, what do I have to do? Like, what do I have to do to be safe? He's gone through this earthquake. He's seen, like, it's such a dramatic scene. So in the darkest hours of the night, after Paul and Silas have been unjustly beaten and then gone through an earthquake, they share the good news with this jailer's entire household, and they all come to faith in Jesus. And had it not happened the way that it did, it's probably unlikely that Paul and Silas would have ever laid eyes on the dungeon keeper. And so not only was his physical life saved, but they led him into eternal life. There's just always opportunity. And that's one of the things that we can see and learn from Paul. Everything matters. Everything. Every choice, every word, every action that we take. Everything matters. It matters as we write the story of our lives, but everything that we do has a consequence for good or evil. Everything that we do matters. And Paul saw everything as an opportunity. Ironically, it's when we feel opposition or hardship, like when we usually will isolate and withdraw, that we might have the greatest opportunity. And so, Holy Spirit, as we continue to walk with you into the truth, into all truth, as we continue to become awake and aware of what is actually happening all around us, we ask that we might see opportunities to be light in the dark. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app, our home base. It's where you find out what's going on around here. The thing that is really up on the radar here is coming up on the 7th of July. This is our Daily Audio Bible holiday that we call the Long Walk. And kind of already unpacked that. This is a long tradition. This goes back to 2007, so this is the 20th year of it. And it really is a day that makes a difference if we embrace the day. And that's why it's become this tradition. There's even music that is really, really suited for it. And you can find that in the music section, in the community section, you'll see of the app. You'll see music. And the Heart album, Songs from the Heart, is really a record I wrote to truly address, without words, the emotions that we experience. And that is a really good resource for the Long Walk. But the Long Walk is the Long Walk. Like, that's what it is. Very simple. Take the day. Take it off. Get in your car or get on your bike or whatever. Go somewhere beautiful, whether near or far. Slow down. Disconnect from technology and from the massive amount of time suck that everything can be in that world. Slow down. Slow down enough to listen to the birds. Slow down enough to watch the breeze and the trees. Slow down enough to see that life is happening all around you if you pay attention. and go for a long walk. The kind of walk that you would go for if you were falling in love. The kind of walk where time does not even count or even matter. Take a day, walk with God. Say everything that's going on. Everything that you need to unpack and unravel. Everything that's happening because you have time for it. Just that alone. Just articulating out loud to God, walking with you, everything that's going on in your work, in your family, in your community, in your health, in your heart, in your mind, everything that's going on, get it out and know that you're being present to God and He is being present to you. And then listen, listen. Listen for the still small voice. Listen for direction and clarity on what the second half of the year is supposed to look like. You'll get back more than a day. You can take a day and you'll get back so much more than a day for dedicating it to God. And, well, frankly, He's been waiting for this opportunity. So take this opportunity to spend time with God on a long walk. And that is a very individual thing, but you won't be doing it alone. I'll be doing it along with thousands and thousands of others who will be doing it. And so it's individual, but it's communal. We know we're not alone in it. But wherever you go, man, take a picture, take a selfie, shoot a video. Not only so that you can remember that day and what it meant to you, but we put up a post on our Facebook page, facebook.com/dailyaudiobible, for the long walk. And you can comment in that post, upload your pictures. Share what your day was like. And that opens windows into each other's lives. We get to just peek in for a second and see that we're not alone on this journey. But also to see what the day looked like all around the world, and that's a lot of fun. So make plans for that. I've got my plans. Hope you got your plans the 7th of July. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you. Beyond words, all gratitude and all glory to God, thank you. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I am Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, everyone. This is Christy in Kentucky. Lisa, my beautiful friend, my encourager, our encourager. I'm behind on listening to the prayers, and today's the 19th. And when I heard your prayer this morning, Lisa, I simply doubled over and cried out to the Lord, reminding Him of what a faithful woman of God that you are. So faithful to pray for each of us in our time of need. Mighty, mighty woman of God. Mighty woman of excellence. Our beautiful prayer warrior. Father, we are praying for Lisa today, Lord. I'm asking you, you're capable, you're mighty, your healing hand to touch her, Father God, and take this cancer out of her body in the precious name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. You are so faithful. And I'm just reminding you of how faithful this daughter is to you. She is such a woman of excellence, Lord. She's a godly woman. Father, we need her. And we need her to be able to continue the call that you placed on her life. And we know, Father, we know that this is simple for you. It may be look big to us, but it's simple for you. And even now, Lord, I'm asking you to touch and heal her so that when she goes in for that scan, that she'll raise her hands when they say, we can't find anything. Just like she's doing today in this time of trouble, she's praising you, and she will be praising you even more and giving you all praise, honor, and glory. We love you, Lord, and I love you, Lisa.
This is Redeemed in Southern Illinois. I want to lift up Lisa, the encourager. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for my precious sister, Lisa, the encourager. She has always been a light of love and care and kindness in the Dabb family. And now she has heard some troubling news health-wise with the diagnosis of breast cancer. And we know that you are her father, her savior, her all in all. And we just lift her up to you and pray that you would continue to walk with her. More than that, carry her through this situation. And help us to be good family members to her by continuing to pray for her and to encourage her like she's encouraged us all these years. We love her so much, and we know you love her even more. Wrap your arms around her and her family. Be with her medical team. Lead, guide, and direct everything that they do. And may she care for herself in a special way during this time, and that you help carve that out with her employer, with her family, help them to know that she has to focus on this to get through it. We love you, Jesus, and ask all these things in your precious holy name. Amen. We love you, Lisa. Keep us updated when you can. We want to walk this journey with you of success and survival and healing. We love you so much.
Hey, y'all. This is Zena, God's Princess Warrior from Minnesota. Getting a call. Just wanted to let you know that my surgery for removing my pain pump from my tummy area and replacing it to my low back area went well. I did have complications, and there was a spinal leak. So I had to go back the next day. I was just miserable, in so much pain, and had to lay flat because if I sat up, I would just get a tremendous spinal headache. But there were some challenges, but the Lord came through and protected me greatly. Thank him so much. I'm able to still walk and move around, and the area in my entire spine that was being worked on as well was my dura, and that is what your spine fluid is contained in. So there was a spinal leak, which means the dura got perforated. But thank the Lord, that is healing, and I'm feeling much better. I am very, very sore where the incisions are, but I'm just praying that you please be praying for me. I've got a couple more surgeries coming up. I've got a total knee replacement coming up, and a prolapsed bladder surgery. So if you would just please remember me in prayer. Again, this is Zena, God's Princess Warrior.
Hello, this is More Than a Survivor calling from Florida. I'm usually on the DABC, but I am a double dabber. I want to call in because I've heard a message from Lisa, the encourager. Just been diagnosed with breast cancer. I want to encourage you, Lisa. I remember when I got that news. It's no news any woman or anyone wants to hear. I was on my lunch break, But God persevered and told me 2 days in that he was going to heal me, but I was going to have to go through the process. So I am praying for you, Lisa. God is still in the healing business. I am a living, walking, talking testimony, and I'm here to tell you, Lisa, the encourager, you got this, girl. Just hold on to God's unchanging hand. Keep your faith. This is where your faith will be tested to the uttermost. And hold on to him. Talk to him daily. Start your journaling early from the time you got your diagnosis to date, and just stay in your word. Stay close to him. Don't leave the ship. It's not going to be an easy road, I'm here to tell you, but God has you. All you have to do is, when you're feeling scared or discouraged, whisper a prayer. Tell God to send you a small sign, and he will. Those prayers will be answered. Just trust him. Keep your faith. Your faith, your faith, your faith. I can't encourage you enough. Lisa, the encourager, I am going to encourage you. I pray for your family, your children, if you have any. And this is where you are also going to need the support of your loved ones, your best friends, whoever you have around you. I'm praying for you.
Hey, my beautiful dabbers. It's Asia calling from the City of Angels. Happy summertime to our Northern Hemisphere folks, and happy wintertime to our Southern Hemisphere folks. Well, I'm calling on the 22nd today, and I want to lift Trisha up in prayer. She called from Canada, navigating some things, and needs our help lifting her requests up to the Lord. Heavenly Father, our great, very, very great, all God, all seeing, all knowing, all providing, all good, all holy, all righteous, all faithful, almighty. You truly are, and you are so worthy of our honor and our praise. We hallow your beautiful, holy name, Lord God. Father, we lift up our sister Trisha to you. Lord, she's navigating so much, a separation. Children that have different difficulties that require health intervention continuously. And now her mother is needing to be closer to her because of early signs of dementia, Lord. And she also isn't working full-time, and she needs to be working full-time, she says, for provision. But only you know, Lord, what she needs. So we just pray that you will provide her needs richly in Christ Jesus, and you'll give her joy. Give her that great spirit of joy that through all of this, she can truly feel good about smiling, because she knows who she is, she knows who made her, and she knows what she's supposed to be doing and where she's going. So glory to you, Father God. We pray provision for her, and that she'll be able to have time, the finances and the time, to spend with her mom in this season and with her children. And Lord, we just ask that you come around her and just warm her richly in you, giving her all that she needs in you, Father God, because you are faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, my DAB family. This is Northeast Kneebender, and I wanted to bring before the throne of grace our sister from Junk to Treasure, who has been so faithful to pray over every single one of our prayer requests during the week and in our prayer and encouragement line. And I want you to know, my sister, that I have been bringing you up in prayer. I've been praying for your children, their spouses, your grandchildren. And I am asking God to have mercy on you. I am going to believe that, yes, you're called into the doctor, but I will not believe that it is for something horrible. I am going to believe that he is going to work it out, that he is going to heal you, and that the Lord is in the midst. He is there before you, and he will use the physicians, medicine, what he has to on this earth. But I'm believing that his divine healing for whatever you need, your provisions, your business, because I'm going to believe that you will be able to continue your crafts as you had planned for this season, this summer season. He will provide everything. I am standing in the gap for you, my sister, from junk to treasure. I love you, and I want you to believe that God is in control, that God has not left you, nor has he forsaken you. And he has never seen his seed forsaken or begging bread. So hold on to him. Do not allow the enemy or the fear to get into your heart and mind. God bless you from junk to treasure, your sister, Northeast Kneebender.